Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in your bulletin insert. There's a number of things coming up here fairly soon. A couple of things I do want to highlight is that today we have a potluck, and that will be after Sunday school this morning. If you did not bring any food, you're still welcome to come. There's always plenty of food. Come and join the fellowship for the potluck this morning. We are in the middle of Lenten season, and we continue to have our midweek Lenten services. We do have a weekly Lenten service every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock in the chapel. Anyone is welcome to attend that. And then in the evening, we continue with our Lenten rotational. This week, we will be at the Presbyterian Church, and the schedule for that is 6 o'clock meal and then 7 o'clock worship. On April 10th, we will be hosting, once again, that rotational. So if you would like to help with the food, you're welcome to do so. There's some sign-up sheets. I think there's one here in the Narthex and also one at the Educational Building. If you'd like to bring a pot of soup or some sandwiches or make some bread or cornbread, please sign up for that. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Anybody else have announcements? Okay, I've got one more thing to read to you. This comes from our disaster relief coordinator for the Southwestern Texas Mission District. And he is the director of the response warehouse. And he says, "Hello. The news from Nebraska is not good. Faith Lutheran Church, which is an NALC congregation in Dannenbrog, has been flooded out. Over 100 families connected to the church have lost their homes. We need your help. Mary Bates, Disaster Response Coordinator, has asked us, the Southern Texas Mission District, to send everything in the warehouse here to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of the flooding, the Ohio warehouse cannot get across the river to deliver supplies. Right now, Mary is looking for a person to drive a U-Haul truck with as much supplies we load up to deliver to Nebraska. This will happen in the next week or so." Actually, I heard the news then late last week that they're actually loading up the truck today. The warehouse is in Richmond here in Texas, and they're loading that up today, and they'll be taking that up there. We have to wait for the water level to come down. We are gathering supplies now so we can be ready to load up when we get the word. What can you do to help? First thing is pray. Pray for peace and safety for our affected neighbors. And then also, too, they could use supplies, which are flood buckets, health kits, and Bibles. And then also gift cards from Walmart, Home Depot, or Lowe's. Last week, I think there was an insert in the bulletin, and there was a lot of information then on disaster relief of what it entails for the flood buckets or health kits and those kind of things. There are a few copies of those, but I think they're over at the Educational Building. I did not bring any over this morning, but if you would like more information on that, you're welcome to pick up one of those flyers. They also ask that no clothing of any kind be donated. Okay. Whatever does not fit in the truck will be used to restock the warehouse here. Hurricane season is around the corner, and we want to be prepared. Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Any other announcements for us this morning? Okay. Not then, we begin with our opening hymn, number 104. Please rise as you are so able.
Thank you.
We begin in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant. Are his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you, and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them, and repent of them, and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me. A poor and sinful being,
forgive my sins, give me your Holy Spirit,
for the amendment of my sinful life,
and bring me to life everlasting.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who has made the heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of all mercy, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us from all sin and make us strong. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We sing the hymn number 98. You may be seated. Thank you.
The first lesson is from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. By celebrating the Passover and eating the produce of the promised land instead of the miraculous manna that had sustained them in the desert, the Israelites symbolically bring their 40 years of wilderness wandering to an end at Gilgal. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day." While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day, they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 32. We will read it responsibly. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt and whose spirit is God.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You reserve me for trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with the bit of a bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. One way to describe the gospel is the promise that in Christ everything is transformed into newness. All mistakes, all deliberate sins, all old history is reconciled with Christ's resurrection. This is Paul's strong message to the congregation in the city of Corinth. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, who is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
You'll all find a seat.
Everybody sit down. There you go. Let's see if I can sit down and get up after a while. Lots of places have a lost and found box. Restaurants have one, schools have one, even our church has a lost and found box. So I brought us a lost and found box this morning, and let's see what might just be in a lost and found box. One shoe. Now, don't you think you'd know if you lost one shoe? Wouldn't you be looking for it? So what's that doing in a lost and found box? Oh, look. Here's a jacket. Somebody took it off when it got hot. Don't you think they'd like to have that this morning? It's kind of cold this morning. Oh, look. Here's a pair of glasses. Somebody lost their glasses. Now they can't read anything. Well, my goodness, look what's in here. Here's my cell phone. I've been looking for this all morning. Here it is. Have you ever lost anything? What have you lost? Something that was important to you?
I lost my drumstick to drum when I was two. I had that drum.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
How did you feel when you found it? You were so happy. You kind of wanted to celebrate, didn't you, when you found it? Did anybody else lose anything?
I did.
What did you lose?
I lost a pair of glasses when I go out
and
it's sunny.
Mm-hmm. Did you find them? Mm-hmm. No, you lost them. So you're kind of sorry that you didn't find them, right? Oh, dear. Well, we'll have to look for those. Everybody loses something sooner or later. What did you lose? Did you find it? No? Well, we're going to have to do some. Maybe you need to look in the lost and found box. Jesus told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of those sheep strayed away from all the others. Every one of the shepherd's sheep were important to him. So the shepherd left his 99 sheep and went and looked for the one sheep that was lost. When he found that one sheep, he called all his friends together and he said, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Jesus told that story about a lost sheep. And he told the story that Pastor read just a while ago about a lost son. Jesus told those stories so that we might understand about God's love for us. We are all God's children, and sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we do things, we say things that we shouldn't, that God wouldn't want us to say. Sometimes we don't even want anything to do with God, so we get lost. We're nowhere where God wants us to be. But we need to remember that God is always there for us. God is always wanting to find us. God always wants to look for us. God is always waiting for us to come back to Him. In fact, who did God send for us? Who did God send? Who did God send?
Jesus.
God sent Jesus. Why did Jesus come? He came to save us because we were lost. We are lost. And Jesus came so that we might be saved. And just as the shepherd in the story rejoiced when he found his one sheep, Jesus said, "There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents." So I'm glad that God loves us so much. He doesn't want to give up on us when we are lost. He is always waiting for us to come back to Him. Can you fold your hands and I'll read a prayer? Dear God, we are your children and you love each and every one of us. We are thankful that you don't give up on us when we get lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think y'all are staying. You're going to sing. I think you're going to sing for us this morning.
Ready?
Lord, I lift your name.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This parable of the prodigal son is probably one of the best known parables in the Bible. It's probably a favorite of a number of people. And I think one of the reasons is because in it's a simple story. It's a very good story. But at the same time, there's a lot of complexity to it. And there's a lot of different themes within this one story. I mean, you have the theme of unconditional love, or of the joy of the Father. You also have the consequences of fast living, or you have a theme of being resentful and what that does, or the themes of forgiveness and humility. You have themes of disrespect. You also have that theme of unmerited grace, that grace that just abounds from God. But one of the themes within this story, I think, that somewhat intrigues me is that theme of loneliness. Every character in this story at some point is lonely. At the beginning of the parable, the younger son wasn't lonely, but he thought he was lonely. He had good home, had good family, he had a good house, he had good work to do, but yet he was not satisfied. He was not satisfied with, or content with the life he had. He thought he was lonely and he wanted to go out and find friends. He wanted to find a new life. And so he took his share of the inheritance and he went out and he found friends. Or he thought they were friends. Because as soon as the money ran out, he no longer had any friends. And that is when he knew what true loneliness was. He had no friends. He was miles away from home. He had no family around. He had no home. He had no money. He had no food. He was desperate enough to take any job that he could find, and the only job that he could find was slopping the hogs. And for a Jew, this would have been one of the most demeaning jobs because swine were prohibited from the Jewish people. But yet, he hit rock bottom. And it was at that point where he hits rock bottom that he comes to his own senses and he thinks about his father. About the hired hands that his father has, that they're treated so much better than this. He is ready to be humble, to humiliate himself. He's ready to go back and confess his sins. He is ready to go back and ask for forgiveness. I think there are a lot of lonely people in this world. And sometimes it is our own fault that we're lonely. I think that younger son was just self-centered. Everything was about him. It's what I want. It's what I need. It's what I want to grab. It was all about himself. And when you think only about yourself, other people don't want to be around you. You don't have any friends. They're not around, and you become lonely. You become lonely at that point. The father was lonely in this story as well then too. There's no mention of a wife. There's no mention of a mother. And so we can probably safely assume that she is gone. She's no longer in the picture. And so this father is left with his two sons. And there's a sense of loneliness simply in that alone. But then his younger son leaves him. His younger son rejects him, rejects his own father, and has to go off on his own. It's one thing that when your children grow up and they become mature and they go away to school or they go away to get married or they go away for work, yeah, that's the healthy way of things are supposed to happen. But when a child leaves in an unhealthy manner, when a child leaves in anger or a child leaves simply as a rejection of where he or she grew up, it really hurts parents. It really hurts the rest of the family who is involved. And I can imagine the father's heart was just torn in pieces as his son left. His father was lonely. There are a lot of lonely people in this world, and many people are lonely not because of their own faults, but simply because of the circumstances around them. They've lost a husband. They've lost a wife, or maybe they've lost a child. Or their children do grow up and they go off and the house is empty and it's quiet. Or maybe a close friend moves off to a different town and we become lonely, that person that we depended upon. Or maybe your group of friends no longer includes you for one reason or another. We become lonely, not necessarily because of what we do, but simply because of the circumstances around us. The older son in this parable was also lonely. It comes out in his anger that he says to his father when the older son finds out what's going on, he says to his father, "When your son has come back and you throw him a party..." It's interesting in here that the father calls him my son. The brother never calls him my brother, but yet calls him your son. An accusation. And that older brother says, "I'm the one who has been responsible all the time. I'm the one who has done everything that you have asked me to do. I am the one who has always been here. I am the one who has done the work. I didn't even take time to spend with my own friends." And I think that's probably the key in there. He is lonely. He hasn't spent the time with his own brother. He didn't spend time with his father. He didn't spend time with his friends. To be in relationship, to have relationships, we need to spend time with one another. We need to be in communication with them. We need to be able to tell people what's going on in our lives and to listen to them as well then too. We get so busy sometimes just with the busyness of life. We get busy with our own immediate families. We get busy with work. We get busy with hobbies. We get busy with recreation. We just don't spend the time building relationships. There are a lot of lonely people in this world. But to have friends, we need to be friend. We need to be a friend. Also in this gospel lesson this morning, we see the scribes and the Pharisees. I think, too, that they were lonely. They're the ones then who prompted this whole parable, because they were criticizing Jesus that he was eating with these tax collectors and these sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees were trying to keep all the laws, the rules, the codes, the regulations within their religion. And anybody who did not follow them were less than them. And so they were very judgmental. They were very critical and were criticizing. And when you set yourself up on a pedestal like that, you can't make relationships with the other people. Now, there may have been some camaraderie between the scribes and the Pharisees. But even then, you had to watch your own back. Because if you did mess up, they would see you. And you would be criticized. And you would also lose status. So they could never be open. They could never be truly honest. Because somebody was always watching them. Somebody would always be ready to criticize. And I think in that then, that they were lonely. And that's one of the reasons why they would criticize Jesus and criticize the other people. They would lash out at other people rather than welcome them in. Jesus is also included in this story. And I think there's many points or several points in his life where Jesus knew true loneliness. Right from the start, right from the beginning of his ministry, as he came out of the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And there he was alone, where he was out without food for 40 days and for 40 nights, out in that wilderness. And he was alone to face the temptations of Satan by himself. There had to be a loneliness in that. Or towards the end, when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he called his closest disciples to him and says, "Come with me, pray with me, watch and stay awake." But as Jesus was praying, his disciples fell asleep. Jesus was alone in his anguishing prayer. That had to be lonely. And then as Jesus was hanging on the cross, exposed, wide open, when his disciples had run away, when one had betrayed him, when one had denied him, and the others had scattered, hanging up there on the cross and dying, there had to be a loneliness in that as well, as he suffered. There are a number of lonely people in this world, and that's not the way that God created us. In the very beginning, in the creation story itself, as God was forming human beings, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." We are made to be in relationship with each other, in relationship to each individuals, and maybe on different levels, as friendships, as married couples, as family. But then we are also to be in relationship with God. And that's what church is all about. That's what coming to worship is all about. And that's why it's so important for us. Because it's in worship that we restore relationships, that our relationships are strengthened. We come and we partake of that meal. We partake of Christ. And our relationship is brought up with God. We also come to worship. We sing together. We pray together. We listen to the word together. We strengthen one another. We talk to one another. We hear of the concerns that are going on in somebody else's life. Or we're able to share our own and unload our own and take that weight off of our own shoulders as we share our own concerns and our own worries and our own griefs with one another. We lift each other up. We support one another. And that is why it is so important that we gather as a congregation, as a people of God, as members of Christ's body, we come together. Many people in this world are lonely. Many are lost. But even though we are lost, we can be found. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our next hymn, number 296. Thank you. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. Let us pray together the offering prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption that all. For the church, the world, and our poor sinful selves, Let us pray to our Lord, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving, welcoming, and restoring us, even when we have foolishly squandered your great gifts and turned away from you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who brings us to our right minds and helps us repent. Thank you for your Son, who guides us to your embrace. Lord, in your mercy. Make your church faithful in proclaiming both your law and gospel. Make it pure with holiness, gentle in rebuke, warm-hearted in reconciliation, and generous in welcoming all whom you have led to repent. Lord, in your mercy. Help this congregation to pray for, seek out, and forgive anyone who has wronged us. Give us patience, hope, graciousness, and humility. Make this a place where those who are estranged from us and from you may return and be reconciled. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for families torn apart by sin, squabbling, and selfishness. Heal them. Return each person to their right minds. Deliver them from the pigsty of foolish pride and the far country of hostility. Take away whatever resentment and hurt stands in the way of healing and reunion. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive those who, through entrusted with the great gifts of authority, power, and influence, have squandered them and used them foolishly. Give wisdom, integrity, and prudence to our elected and appointed leaders, and teach us to live at peace with one another despite our differences. Lord, in your mercy. Bring healing, hope, and wholeness to everyone who suffers. Bring them back from the far country of pain, sorrow, or despair. Restore them to the fellowship of all who love them and increase their joyful trust in you. We pray especially for Emil Geffert, Lois Kelch, Aaron Copeman, and Ann Oddix. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you have welcomed so many prodigals into your kingdom already, including many whom we have loved in this life. Thank you for your forgiving and loving embrace. Keep our eyes firmly fixed on the road home to you, and at the last, welcome us to the homecoming feast you have prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, dear Lord, and answer our prayers according to your will, to your glory and for the benefit of the people you long to save. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 315. you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks.